podcast is presented to you by Pastor Gilbert Kelly of New City Church, located in Fairburn and Peachtree City, Georgia. For more information, please visit us at newcitychurch.net.
Jesus. As I've said before and I say it again, he's bringing an awakening. And I'm thankful that it's awakening in this church. I see it Sunday by Sunday, and I'll say it as long as he's doing it. An awakening to those who will give themselves to being awakened. Word by word, testimony by testimony, he's moving his church, his people, to a higher place. Come on, who's moving to a higher place? Come on, a higher place. A forward place. Our God is not a standstill God. And he's not a standstill God because time does not stand still. He moves it forward. Come on, tell somebody he's coming again. We're moving forward to that step. So he moves his people forward. As he moves forward, and he's done it, as we said before, throughout the history of man with God. He moves his people forward to safer and higher places. The word for that is Exodus. Moving forward. And now we have a spiritual exodus. As it were, a much needed spiritual exodus. A much needed in the church today from a place of what I call a sleep and slumber or sleepwalking church. In other words, a church that was sleeping and compromised. He moved it from that to a place of being awakened and alert. And again, we need to learn from past movements. Learn from the Bible. Learn from modern movements. We need to learn from the past, and we need to learn from the present day voice of the Holy Spirit. That's why when I sense someone is hearing from the Holy Spirit, we have times of sharing from this altar and the prophetic word and those sort of things. And hold on, sister. I know. We need to learn also from the Word of God. Discouragement. Come on, you heard it up here this morning. Discouragement, let me tell you right now, discouragement is the number one weapon of Satan to stop the people of God from moving forward. Weapon number one, not sin, not whatever. His number one weapon I will use when the people of God are trying to follow him somewhere is discouragement. Discouragement. And I'm not going to go back and preach the last two messages, but beating discouragement, if we're going to follow Jesus, if you're going to go down the road that he takes you down, I'm going to call it the discipline of beating discouragement. Because it will come from time to time. We talked about that, you know, imperfect people trying to follow a perfect God. You know, it gets discouraging at times, amen. But if you're going to beat discouragement, you're going to have to master this discipline of beating discouragement. I started a two-message series on this a couple of Sundays ago. We talked about the tendencies of man, the hit moments of seasons when following God in the timeline. And then we talked last week about finding the strength to press on. When those times of difficulty or testing come, if you haven't been here, I know a lot of vacations still. Now the weather's getting cold. We ought to be coming in from vacations, amen. Unless you like to ski or something. But go back and listen to that. And I thought it was going to be a two-message series. I planned a two-message series. But I found out something again, that my plan and the Lord's steps don't always match. That's why the Bible says man makes a plan, but God, what orders? And so this past Monday when I was taking a break from message, bro, I'll finish one series, take my reprieve Monday, and Holy Spirit, I'll be begging you again by the next day. What do you want to tell your people? You're always faithful. How many of you beg instead of pray? I do. When you're desperate, it goes past. I mean, your prayer turns into really begging, you know. But this past Monday, in an unexpected way, God told me that he had a step. One more step, one more message, one more critical weapon. And, you know, I was tempted not to preach. It was getting late. But then the Lord said, I spoke to you for the people. And so another thing I have is a fear of the Lord. So, one more weapon, one more critical weapon that we must have to defend against discouragement. Let me check again. How many get discouraged sometimes? Come on. Yeah, I know. That's 100%. I know. And I can tell you today, we need this critical spiritual discipline more than ever in this world of what I call increased visualization. A world of increased visualization. You see, today's news is visualized now around the world and in our face at the speed of light. Sometimes we just have to turn it off. You know, not so long ago, to get the news, we heard or read way more of the news than we actually saw. Not so long ago, the news was a daily newspaper with maybe a few photographs or a 30-minute nightly 6 o'clock news program with Walter Cronkite or David Brinkley. I mean, it was one of the two, really. Come on. You remember? We didn't have but 3 channels back then. All the young people. A lot of people, what? And then praise the Lord, channel 17 came along. We had 4. Everybody, yeah. They're looking at me like you're crazy. You know what I mean? And one person basically read you the latest news with maybe a photograph or two, a film clip. Now listen, everything then was carefully censored to make sure it was family friendly. Very carefully. That day is gone. It's not coming back. And let me say, even in that day, thankfully it's gone. It had its own form of deception, amen? But now everything is breaking news. The latest crazy, complete with video, hot off someone's phone camera, the security camera, doorbell camera. Me and my wife just got one of those Ring cameras put in, so when you come ring my doorbell, I can see it's you. And decide whether to answer or not, you know. You better call first. No longer family friendly. In fact, now the less family friendly, the higher the ratings. The higher the ratings, the more advertising money the network makes. And so now everything today is visualized. And so the Lord gave me a word about beating discouragement, part 3. I think it's the last one, I don't know. But we're going to talk about seeing things clearly. Seeing things clearly. Lord, just thank you. We just come. Here I am begging again. Father, I come and I ask. Be with us as you already are in this word, as you were in our prayer time and our worship, as you are, Father God. But be with this word. Help me to speak. Help us to hear. Help me to hear as I speak. Help us to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to his church today in this time of awakening, to those who will hear, to those who will open their hearts, to those who would say yes to your voice, to those who would say yes to following you, to those who would say, I will overcome the discouragement. To those, Lord, but even more so to those who aren't sure yet today. Open the hearts, remove the scales, remove the blinders to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying today. And everyone said, the Lord speaks to me in some strange places at times. And very graphically, I'm gonna begin sharing a little more as time goes on about some of the absolutely out of this world ways the Lord has spoken to me, for you, for us. But this time it was an eyeglass testimony. I was in an eyeglass store Monday. I had a pair of old frames, and so I might as well make some shades out of them. So I took them there. And my glasses, I've had lens replacement. I can see you very clearly, but I don't read too good without. And so I just said, make them readers in the bottom and no prescription up top, and that's the way they do. And so they made the glasses for me, some shades, called me, they're ready, come in, and I put them on. And as soon as I put them on, I looked, and I saw double vision. I said, this ain't right. I'm seeing double vision. And it wasn't the normal double vision. Usually double vision, two images side by side. This was double vision, one image above the other. It was really strange. Both images were very clear visually, but one image was above the other. You see, what had happened, I found out, they put the reader on the top in one lens and on the bottom in the other lens. It was all messed up, and I'm looking, in the natural, something was wrong with these glasses. But the Lord revealed to me that in the spiritual, everything was right. Let me confess right now without apology for this message. I hope you brought your Bibles, because he gave me more Bible than commentary, amen? More Bible. And I believe that for the pastors that will, for the preachers that will, this is another awakening that's coming back to the church. More scripture in the sermons. As it was in the early church, where it was about all scripture. There's power in the word of God. More power than any story, I can tell you. The return of the written word. So let's go to the first letter of John, not the gospel, the first letter of John. Just keep flipping back from the gospel, you'll find it. 1 John, chapter 5. I'm taking you where God took me. Chapter 5, we saw it in verse 1. It says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him, who begot, also loves him who is begotten of him. New King James Version. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. My goodness. And his commandments are not burdensome, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Well, this is saying, pause a minute, that loving Jesus and loving your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ cannot be separated. You can't have one and not have the other. No matter what their denomination, no matter what their race, no matter what their nationality, no matter what their economic status, no matter what their politics, believing in Jesus is the bond of love we must have for all that are his, if you are his. And then in verse 6, it says, this is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it's the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. And somebody is saying, what in the world? Let me give you a little frame of that discourse. When Apostle John wrote this letter, it was very late in his life. After he wrote the book of Revelation, I believe. And things were beginning to go a little astray in the church. And there was something slipping into the church called Gnosticism. And this is directly addressing this belief of Gnosticism. Basically, Gnosticism would say, these are believers, these are Christians that would say, our spirit is all good, but our flesh is all evil. And so they would say the Spirit of God was separate from the person of Jesus Christ. And so what they were saying was Jesus himself, when he was born, was just a man. He was not God when he was born. The Spirit of God only came down on him at his baptism. Remember, the dove came down. And it left him right before he went to the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's what Gnosticism taught. Jesus, the man they teach, or they taught, was only a man that had the Spirit of God for a while. This was being taught in the Christian arenas. Was not God at birth. Was not God on the cross. He just came to demonstrate that the spirit is good and the body is evil. So, as a result, they believe it's okay for a Christian to sin as much as desired, and your spirit is fine. Not too far off from today's watered-down Christianity. There's nothing new under the sun. It's just relabeled. And look what he said in verse 9. He says, if we receive, come on, seeing clearly, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. That's the double vision. The witness of men, what you see on the news, what you see on the YouTube, the witness of men, you receive the witness of men because these things come out of faith. But he said, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he has testified in his son. Come on, it's all about Jesus. Okay, now you understand who he's talking to. He's talking to this church that's biting off into this Gnosticism. Basically, they were saying Jesus was not the Son of God. The double vision. Both receive, one higher. Come on, this is what the Lord is saying. You're going to see both, but one visual is going to be above the other. In verse 10, it says, he who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. Come on, Christ in us. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony of God that is given of his Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Oh, come on, it's plain and simple. He said, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. You have eternal life. You go on not only as a spiritual being, but as a physical being. Let's skip down to verse 20 for the sake of time. And listen, he said, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. And then a strange but appropriate ending. Little children. Okay, he's advanced in age. Little children, he's saying, they're not advanced spiritually. He says, little children, Keep yourself from idols. Keep yourself from looking at anything to deliver you, anything to serve other than the Lord. If we receive the witness of men, you see, we got a lot of witness of men in this age of visualization. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. To know, as it said, to know him who is true. Come on, this is double vision. It's to see clearly right now that from the beginning of this world to the end of this world, all truth is in him. Now, it's so easy for us to say, but it's a little more difficult for moment by moment for us to stand on that truth. Even though deep down inside we know it's true, the visual of man is powerful. That's why in John 14:6, my favorite Bible verse, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father. No man comes to eternal life except by him, Jesus." This world that we live in had a beginning in Genesis 1, and it has an end in the book of Revelation and other places. The world has a beginning and an end, but him, Jesus, who created this world, is eternal. And I want you to understand, not only is he eternal forward, but he is also eternal the other way. He had no beginning, and he had no end, and he created all that we see, and all that we don't see. So the Bible says he created the heavens and the earth, all that we see and all that we don't see, all that had a beginning and had an end, was created somewhere in the middle, I guess, by him who had no beginning and has no end. He holds all of his creation in his hand, and he is sovereign over it no matter how crazy it looks. We need to see things clearly. Come on, to not become discouraged. In this world of the visual, the visualization, we need what we see. What we see in the natural that often looks like chaos. How many can say you turn on the news right now and it is cray cray? Come on, can I get an amen? What we see in the natural that often looks like chaos in our eyes, I assure you this morning, it is not chaos in his eyes. In our eyes, we see crazy. In his eyes, he sees God-given choices being made. God-given choices. Choices being made by the only two creations that he created that were given the gift and power and the ability to choose by intellect as opposed to instinct. I'm going to stay with him this morning. You know, that's another thing that needs to return to the church and return to pastors. We need to be taught, and you need to be taught. I have to learn before I can teach, amen? Only two creations that were created were given the gift and the power of the ability to choose by intellect as opposed to instinct. There were only two: man, that was created in his image and likeness, and number two was angels, created a little higher in man. The only two of his creations that had the intellect to choose and not just choose by instinct. Both have a power to choose who and what to believe and obey, and the consequences, listen, the consequences of those choices by man and by angels is what we often see as strife and chaos and crazy in this world. Come on, speak, Lord. That is why it is so critically important for the believer and follower in Christ to see things clearly. We need to see the spiritual view as clearly as we see the natural view. Just like those new glasses, we need double vision. One view needs to be seen above the other. Come on, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Because if you don't, I assure you that over time, especially in your time of difficulty, your time of struggle, your time what appears to be crazy, in will come deception, in will come discouragement, in will come despair, and eventually in will come compromise. And we all go through difficult times of crazy. Can I get an amen? Can I say that sometimes the Lord will send you through a difficult time of crazy just to check your vision? In the right dot though. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. So then I'm going to take you on a journey of a little bit more of what is true. We're going to go into the Bible. How many love the Word of God? If you don't, you are in the wrong church. There was something I realized a long time ago after reading the Bible enough times. The first verse of the Bible and the last verse of the Bible bookends. The first verse bookends the must believe, the must be received. The first verse, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Period. Until you get your head around that and accept that fully, nothing else in the Bible is going to line up for you. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then 1,400 and something pages later, in my big fat Bible, the one in my office, the last verse, Revelation 22:21, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And you're going to need that grace because of the stuff in the middle. Let's go to Luke 17, verse 20. Oh, well. It says, now when Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. It doesn't come with your natural sight. Nor would they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. And he's talking to you. He's talking to me. Then he said to the disciples, the days will come when you would desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man. One of the days when he was walking with them, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, look here or look there. It says, do not go after them or follow them, for as the lightning that flashes out of one part of the heaven shines to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And as it was in the day of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Jesus talking. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on that day, on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Nobody wants to preach that these days. Not politically correct. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, in that night, there will be two men in one bed. That's not a gay thing. Come on, let's get the head straight. The one will be taken and the other will be left. Two women will be grinding together. The one will be taken and the other left. Two men will be in the field. The one will be taken and the other left. What we see today is about choices. 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 We have the power, God-given intellect to choose. We're in a day that God is awakening those who are his, who choose to be his. Don't be discouraged, people, at what happens when it appears to be chaos and confusion. When you leave the church this morning, you see things in the community. You'll see the good, the bad, and the ugly. When you're looking at the go home, you're looking at the news and the lightning fast visuals of news and events, see things. Don't put your head in the sand. Don't hide, but see things clearly. Double vision. One eye seeing the earthly view, the other eye seeing heaven's view. And let me tell you right now, they will never see things the same. But you need to see both clearly. When one eye is seeing the crazy, make sure the other eye, one feeds your brain, one feeds your soul. Make sure the eye that feeds your soul is standing on the word of God. Come on, worship team. Come on, let's read some more Bible. Revelation 22. Revelation 22. It's amazing how you get confirmations. I went to a funeral in a Catholic church yesterday. And a priest that I actually admire, every time I go, it's actually my mom's priest. Rome must not like this dude. Because he... if I didn't know any better, I would say he was spirit-filled and he might be a believer that has told Rome, you know, scratch a bunch of the stuff. We're preaching the word. Revelation 22 was read, a good part of it, in the Catholic Church. Holy Spirit is speaking. Come on, we're talking about what is true. And the same John, this was written, I believe, before what we read. And this letter was actually spread to the churches that still managed to fall into this slumber. And it reads, and he showed me, come on, he's looking at heaven. We're going to talk about heaven soon. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of his street, and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits. It's the same tree of life that was in the Garden of Eden that God, with the two cherubim, now had banned man from after they failed in the garden. Now that tree is going to be restored back to man. Each tree yielding its fruit every month, the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, the angel said, see that you do not do that. You know, so I think some pastors need to read that when in some churches they want to exalt the pastor higher than the people. This angel was wise enough to say, see that you don't do that. But I am your fellow servant. And of your brethren, the prophets. That's the angel talking. And of those who keep the words of this book. He says, worship God. Worship God. And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophets of this book, for the time is at hand. Who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. Who is holy, let him be holy still. Choices. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments. Come on, the word is preaching this morning. That they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs, sorcerers, the sexually immoral, murderers, idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things. Where? I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star, and the spirit and the bride. The spirit and the bride is the church that are his. We say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts say, come. Whoever desires, let him take freely of the water of life. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophets of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the prophecy of this book, God shall take away his part from the book of life. From the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. And even though this will be a day that won't be a lot of fun, a day of severe judgment on the earth. He came the first time, gentle as a lamb. He comes the second time, King of kings, Lord of lords, with the armies of heaven behind him, and every enemy of his, man or angel, will be destroyed. Sobering. But John says, amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. 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 What we see in the natural that often looks like chaos in our eyes, not chaos in his eyes. Don't get discouraged. Come on, see things clearly. Come on, to follow Jesus, we have to see things clearly, and we have to stop taking away from what the Word of God says. There's power, there's freedom, there's deliverance in the Word of God. He'll have a remnant. But as for me, us, and this church, we have to day by day make choices. Thank you, Lord. I pray a blessing over your word this morning. As it is written. As it is written. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. From in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. To the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, be with you all. Amen. I think it's time for communion. Come on, we're going to have a believer's meal this morning. For the guests in the house, you know how we do this. It's buffet. Just come get your emblems as we worship. And my God, my God. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about what God is doing in his church today. I don't know about you, but for me, the truth is refreshing. Because your spirit knows the truth when you hear it. Your spirit, and the truth is the written word of God. Without compromise. So in this meal, he even says, come and agree. I believe even in this communion meal, some people are going to get the double vision back. See again the power of the cross, the power of his blood, the power of his will, the power of his view, the power of what happened, the power of what happened and what will happen. So let's have a family meal today. So as we worship, just come now.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. To stay connected, follow us on Instagram or join us on Facebook. Thank you and have a blessed week.